Hey everybody, it's Sunny. I am just letting you know that you're listening on the iTunes feed. Go sign up at the Patreon. This episode is about Doctor Strange 2 Multiverse Madness. Could have listened to it 2 weeks ago, but you didn't. So go sign up there. We've got a 25th anniversary of the Fifth Element coming up. Big time. I'm not sure why, but JBL is very excited to talk about this, so we'll see. On Monday's bonus episode, we're going to be talking about Top Gun. The original, not Top Gun Maverick. Top Gun Maverick we'll be talking about the week after, so everybody has a chance to see it. You want to spoil all that airplane action. So anyway, go sign up at Patreon, subbeacon.com. You'll easily find us and listen to the show when it's new and fresh and hot instead of stale and reheated like this.
I did what I had to do to protect our world.
You cannot control everything, Strange. You opened the doorway between universes. And we don't know who or what will walk through it.
Wanda, what do you know about the multiverse?
Viz had his theories. He believed it was dangerous.
He was right.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Subbeacon. I'm Victor Mattis, along with Jonathan V. Last and Sunny Bunch. Just a reminder, the Subbeacon is now available through Patreon. Go to subbeacon.com, you'll easily find us. Please subscribe, tell your friends, and don't forget about the Subbeacon merchandise store at tpublic.com. Gentlemen, how are we? JVL, how are you and where are you?
So many things have happened.
Yes.
In the last week since Indeed. We sat down together, I got COVID. I suffered.
How are you feeling?
Through COVID. I feel really good.
AB2? Is this BA2? BA2.
There was like 72 hours that were really quite not good, particularly with the fevers.
Mm-hmm.
The fever. I was in my big camping sleeping bag, which is rated to 20 degrees. I was, you know, it's like 75 degrees outside. Uh-huh. I am shoved into the sleeping bag, pulled it over my face, was colder than I was out in the wilderness actually camping. I just couldn't get warm.
That's crazy.
But
you didn't lose your sense of smell or taste.
No,
that's Delta.
No. Anyway, so I fought through COVID. We are currently staying at the Best Western Woodbridge. Because we can't be in our house, because the house is being shown, and we are selling our house, and we will return to our house on Sunday night. And
am I looking at the Best?
But you are in your house.
I am right? currently in my house.
Okay, I was going to say.
I'm taping downstairs. It's a really nice Best Western.
I was going to say, it's a nice Best Western.
Yeah, I'm taping downstairs, and then I have to, you know, like a fugitive. I've got to cover my tracks as I walk backwards to get out of the house.
It's amazing how
Are you rubbing the carpet as you walk out with your foot?
Yes.
He's got to wear those things that the killers wear,
the
Sonny.
Booties.
You know,
yeah,
the little booties.
Like Mark Wahlberg.
Mark Wahlberg in The Departed.
The Departed.
Have you ever looked at a home and the people were in the home and they didn't seem to care? You ever have that happen? That's weird.
In the housing bubble of 2004, that happened all the time.
Yes.
We were looking to buy a place and we just walk in. There'd just be people like sitting there eating, lounging,
yes.
watching TV. And there's been a lot of baseball action. A lot of baseball action. I am in uniform right now, having come directly from a game today. Didn't go great today. Today, our worst performance ever.
Well, at least you were out
what
there.
What was the score?
14-0.
Oof.
So here's my question to you boys. So yesterday we had back-to-back games, which is tough.
One lap per run given up. Is that what you're?
No. Oh. This is a very serious question. Serious question. This is middle school baseball. Do you know where we sit in the standings currently?
Last?
It's a trick question. There are no standings.
Okay.
It's not. There is no league. There is no championship. There is no standings. We're just part of a bunch of private middle schools that play each other, and who cares?
And you're telling me the other coaches aren't keeping track of, you know, like their wins and losses versus yours?
So what I'm telling you is, I sent you gentlemen pictures of yesterday, of a kid from yesterday's fancy $47,000 a year private school, of a runner who had reached second base standing next to my second baseman. You saw that picture, right?
Yeah.
This is what I'm dealing with, because half of my team are in fifth and sixth grade, and everybody else only has seventh and eighth graders. I have 14 kids.
To describe it to the listeners at home, it was like the photo. What is that famous photo of? It's Mike Judge
and Jose Altuve.
Yeah, Jose Altuve, who's like 5'6".
Yeah.
And Mike Judge, who's like 6'10".
Yeah.
Yeah. That's about what it looked like.
It is what it looked like. It's insane. It's insane. And anyway, and I got 14 kids, half of whom are, you know, like little kids.
Yeah.
Fifth grade is really little. And also half the team has never played baseball at any level before.
Right.
And I made the decision from the very beginning that I wasn't going to cut anybody and that I was going to try to play everyone. Mm-hmm. And so you have an option of batting 9 players or batting some other number of players, right? You could bat your whole lineup, your whole team if you want to. And this way, everybody gets a chance mm-hmm. to come to the plate. And my kids, who early in the season, I was terrified that they would not even be able to protect themselves at the plate. And they worked really hard. And I think they're okay now. Like, you know, they're not going to get on base very often. Yeah. They're maybe they can draw a walk. They're not going to put a ball in play. But they know enough to get out of the way now. They're not going to get hurt. And I don't know. There is no trophy. There are no standings. And so I feel like it's more important to get these kids at bats and let them be part of a team that they're participating in. And so, like, today, when we go up against a team made up of all 7th and 8th graders who all play on the elite travel team in our area of Virginia, and even though they have 12 kids on the team, the coach only bats 9 of them. Because, you know, you got to earn your at-bats. You know, And I'm just like, for who, for what? And so, because I'm not playing to win, I'm there trying to, like, give these kids a good experience. Because, again, there are no standings. There are no cash prizes. Nobody's getting a bonus. There are no bonus checks, or none of these kids. Asher, his contract, my little fifth grader Asher, who's like, you know, whose wrists are the size of your daughter's wrist. Asher's contract is not written so that he gets a bonus if he does X number of plays, and I feel a little weird about it because on the one hand, it would be nice for them to win more. On the other hand, like, I don't know, would it be? If it just means that, like, we pitch flash for 5 innings every game and we only bat 9 kids, we only bat the 9 best kids, and nobody else gets into the game, like, is that really fun? I don't know. So I'm sort of angsty about all this right now.
Counterpoint. This is loser talk. This is loser talk we're hearing here. I totally understand where you're coming from. Your goal here is not to alienate any of them from the game.
Yeah.
You are trying to teach them love of the game.
And I'm just trying to, like, give them a good, like, experience. I want them to have had fun, right?
You know what's fun is winning. Winning on the bench, more fun than losing on the field.
Ooh, is that true? I've done both.
100% true. Winning on the field.
If there's a thing to win,
winning on the field, number one.
To win a state championship and then getting a jacket, then you get to wear the jacket. The girls all want to be your girlfriends, and they can wear your jacket.
Winning is its own reward. You're talking about winning like it's this thing that, you know. No, winning is in and of itself a good. Winning is a.
No, there has to be stakes.
There has to be stakes. Good. There are stakes. The stake is winning versus losing. No. Winning
I
up
disagree.
Here, losing down
Tell
here.
Tell me something, Sonny.
Yes.
Tell me
sure.
something. When you're playing poker and you're just playing it for fun with no money in it, is winning a hand in poker with no money in it as much fun as winning a hand when there's like $300 in the pot?
Yes.
Of course not. But that doesn't change the fact that winning is still better than losing.
He still enjoys winning.
Winning is still better than losing.
Even when there's no money at stake, he still enjoys winning.
It's got to be stakes.
I like to win, and then I like to rub people's face in the win. I mean, that's the point isn't the
win.
That's
contrary to baseball.
The point isn't
you
even
go
really
rubbing your
to win.
You go rubbing somebody's face in it in baseball, you're going to get Flash putting a heater between your shoulder blades.
Oh, come on. I don't think you'd even order him. Have you ever ordered him to hit anyone who had it coming?
I came close today.
You should have. You should have, just on general principle. I think that in the grand scheme of things, you're making
give me your honest advice as a parent.
You're making the right call. In the grand scheme of things, you're instilling love of the game. You're teaching them how to play and trying to get everybody up there, get them at bats. That's admirable for the first year. For the second year is where they have to learn that this is a game with rules. And one of the rules is 9 batters. And another one of the rules is you win. You try and win. And if you don't win, you're a loser.
Mm.
That would be, I mean, that's my honest take on it.
Well, I'm not going to be here for year two.
Well, this is
somebody else is coaching this team next year. I'm just trying to, you know, make sure he has players because the kids decided that they enjoyed baseball enough to stick around and play again next year. But, today was tough because Flash, I wanted to start somebody else and I started another kid and we were down 7-0 before we recorded an out. Which is tough. Tough. But so I pulled a pretty good coaching move, I think. This kid was he's a fifth grader. He's a tough fifth grader. Fifth grader pitching from 60 feet 6 inches. It's not easy. And so I called time. I said, "Blue, time." Walk out to the mound, sort of motion the infield. The infield all comes running in. We're sort of gathered around the mound. I look down at the pitcher, Madden. I said to him, "Hey, man." He goes, "Hey, coach." He's a little bit down. I said, "Man, I'm pretty worried about the Fed raising interest rates like that, full half point. It's pretty bad, isn't it?" He looks at me. I said, "Yeah, no." And he said he's going to go and raise it at least 25 more basis points at the next meeting, and that even 3/4 of a point is not out of the question. "You guys pretty worked up about this, too?" The kids are like, "What's wrong with coach?" And I was like, "Yeah, that's all. I just wanted to talk about that. Get your temperature on that. All right, go have fun." I turned around and I thought, got to show them there are important things in life, like money. Everybody needs money. That's why they call it money.
Did you order the code red when you got back to the bench?
So that was my attempt to do good coaching today. So, there. That's where I am. Those are all the things I have.
I think
it's very, very admirable. But again, winning is important.
It is. I think it's a great opportunity for kids who have never played baseball because, we're increasingly in this society where you got to start them at age 4.
Yeah.
And get in, and if you're not in that, then you're completely
then you can't
out.
Even make your
you
middle
cannot,
school team.
No, you can't even
and
make
forget college scholarship.
Team, so, yeah.
It means that you can't even play on your middle school team.
I think it's a good thing. That's what I think.
Thank you, Victorino. I appreciate that.
Right. Otherwise, it's like, it's
bunch,
hard.
Bunch of cucks on this point.
Flash currently has 17 strikeouts on the season.
Wow.
Still hasn't given up a hit. It's absolutely dominant today. But, the point is I'm not pitching him for 5 innings every game.
Should be putting him in there 5 innings every... Burn his arm out. Get him the Tommy John.
Anyway, Santino, what are you up to, buddy?
Because if he gets it now, he'll be fine by high school, right? He'll be throwing 90.
A year. Yeah, that's all it takes. So what do you got?
Sonny, how are you? And did you really drink that pickle beer?
Oh, my God. I did. So Vic is referencing I was at the grocery store. I was in the pickle aisle and I saw a case, like just a stack, a giant stack of sour pickle beer. And, I took a picture of it and I tweeted it out. I was like,
people went crazy.
You know, this is ridiculous. How can anybody drink such a thing?
Is this some sort of a microbrew or like a Budweiser?
It's a local Texas, brewery, thing. A local Texas brewery, here in DFW. So I like jokingly tweeted it out, and then I was like, you know what? I'm gonna go buy a six pack just to see what it tastes like.
A six pack that you, I
okay. They did not. They were not sold individually, or I would have just bought one.
I was going to say.
Because four of those beers, my lovely wife and I both cracked one open. Four of those beers are going to be in my fridge until I die. Until those okay. beers will be in this fridge right. until I leave this house.
So tell
or
us.
Or it blows away in a tornado. It was terrible. It was. I mean, it was. I'm not even going to. I can't
like,
even.
Is
do
it like carbonated? Is it basically carbonated
yeah,
pickle
it's
juice?
Beer. It's a beer. It's a sour, so it's not like super carbonated. It's a little
sour. Okay.
It's a sour.
All right.
So it is basically drinking a 4% alcohol pickle brine. I mean, like not joking. Yeah. Not exaggerating.
Not a hint. It's not a hint of.
It's not like it doesn't have like a taste of pickle. Right. It doesn't have like some pickle when it hits the back of your throat. Yeah, no. It's not like
full-on.
A sweet. It's not like a sweet pickle.
It's not a sweet.
You know,
it's not a sweet gherkin. Yes.
It's not. Uh-huh. It's not like it's. It is. It is like taking. It is like taking out all of the, kosher dills, mm-hmm. and putting them on a plate, and then taking the glass jar with all the green brine in it,
right.
and pouring it into your mouth and swallowing. It is. It was. It was genuine. So
did you
I will
finish
say,
it?
Oh no, no. I.
How
I.
Many sips?
I have not.
Was this
I
like Good
not...
Boys? He had yeah. four sips.
Four sips.
I did not get to four. I did not get to four. I had like three, maybe. I mean, I have not poured out a beer for reasons of taste since college. And I remember that beer.
Yeah,
it was
out
a
of
beer
principle.
Called Elephant. It was a beer called Elephant by the Carlsberg Brewery, I believe. But it's like it was like 8%. And so again, this was like 2000 before like, you know, the IPA boom and this beer was like 8% alcohol. It basically tasted like malt liquor, but it was beer. But it was not good. Anyway, that is literally the last time I ever poured a beer out for reasons of taste. I got literally 2 ounces into the 12-ounce can, and I just gagged on it. I was like, this is like again, literally like drinking. Pickle brine. It is a bad drink. I do not recommend anybody anywhere buy it.
Because, you know, it's like they took it to the pickleback to the next level. Remember the pickleback fad, which is people were doing shots of like Jameson's and then with a chaser of the pickle juice.
Yeah, like
picklebacks.
Brine.
Because and full of electrolytes. So at least you got that, Sonny. You got your electrolytes. Apparently it's bursting with electrolytes.
I don't know if there was any... Well, I mean, it's not actually pickle... I mean, that's the thing, is it's not actually pickle brine. Actual pickle brine is probably tastier than this, frankly.
Yes, because I did it to...
I'd probably rather drink actual pickle brine.
I did it
this.
To humor a friend of mine who insisted that I do it. This is a couple years back. And I was quite surprised. And it was also a clearish look. It wasn't like that radioactive green, yellow, like from the actual like pickle jar. Yeah. So I was like, oh, interesting. Not that I would ever do it again, but still.
No, it
this
was
sounds terrible.
I do not recommend it. If you ever want to get your kids off alcohol forever, give them a can of this.
Oh,
be like,
yeah,
this is what beer
tastes like.
Yeah,
this is
leave
what
it in
all
the fridge.
Beer tastes like.
Leave it in
the
fridge.
Yum.
When your kids get old enough and they decide, oh, I'm going to sneak one, they're going to end up taking this one that expired, you know, years ago, and then they'll be like, I'm never drinking beer ever again.
Bitter beer face like Keystone, right? Do you remember that?
Oh, bitter beer face, yeah.
Do you remember that?
Keystone, that was a good... Oh. Keystone, good beer. I'll drink Keystone.
It has a special liner.
Yeah.
Keystone
that?
Light.
That there.
Oh, it's ice. Keystone ice.
Yes.
I want it all.
Oh.
Keystone was like, if we wanted to class it up a little bit in college, we would, you know, instead of the Natural Light or Milwaukee's Best, we'd get Keystone.
I didn't know. You know, I used to complain. You'd go to parties, and you complain because they're always serving, like, you know, Busch beer. And it's so awful. And I used to say, you know, when we throw a party, our house throws a party, you know, it's going to be really good beer. And then, but you have no idea how much a keg costs. And when you find out, I'm like, oh my gosh.
You get there, like, oh wow.
We all settled on Busch Light.
Yeah.
So and you put a bag of ice on top and you tell everybody it's Busch Ice. Oh, this is Busch Ice.
And it's
how do you get a keg?
From like Dixie Liquor, or
when you're in college?
Yeah,
nobody's old enough.
Sure, you got a buddy who's 21, and they put in the back of their truck and bring it back to your apartment. And you got a party.
One of the nice things about living in a frat house is that there is an entire class of people who is above the legal drinking.
So, we were sophomores. Friend of ours is junior.
Really do that. This isn't just something in the movies. Like what people do you mean? Get kegs of beer at college.
You can't see the video of me with the hand over my mouth. By
I don't
the way.
Understand. I don't understand your question. You've never been to a kegger? You don't.
I mean, I've seen them in like old school, so that's real.
It's a real this thing.
Isn't. See, oh, I always come thought on. That
he's
was
trolling.
The
no, he's
no,
trolling, Sonny.
That
he's trolling.
That was the version of like the Skinemax Naughty Beach House, where like you know, like and it's like, hey, is that how it really works? Like you're working at a 7-Eleven, then two girls come in and fuck on the copy machine at 7-Eleven, and you wind up doing it with them. And you're like, no, that's just how it is in the movies, right? I thought that that's what the people drinking beer out of a keg at college was.
No, there's, I mean, I don't know what it's like now, you know, God only knows with the kids and the woke youngsters, you know, who knows what they're up to, I went to hundreds of parties with actual kegs
I would
of
say
beer.
Within the first week of my freshman year at Georgetown. And they had kegs, and you learned how to pump it.
The real problem with kegs at that age is getting the keg from place to place, getting it in the back of the
truck. Oh, you learn
the
hard way. Some people have terrible ideas, like rolling a keg.
Yeah, some people are like, we're going to roll this keg, and that's
like
not what you do with a keg. 90%
foam.
It.
It's 90% head by the
time.
Right,
so
you learn.
You got to get two guys who can pick it up and can actually carry it. Kegs are very, very heavy. I mean, it's, you know.
Yeah, I mean,
what
about homecoming parties? You have to have
60,
I mean,
70 pounds, I guess.
They're very heavy.
Like, they're
you can
very
get a
six heavy.
The small ones, but I mean, honestly, in college, it's going to be a keg, and you got to get the ice, and you got to get the bucket to put the keg in.
I mean, depending on the size of the party, you're getting five or six
come on,
kegs.
You didn't see this at Hopkins?
Honestly, it's like you guys are reporting on what life was like in ancient Greece or something. I have trouble believing this is a real thing that people really do and isn't just a trope from movies.
At UVA, like the Kroger and the Harris Teeter had like freezers that you would go into and you'd be like, all right, I want a keg of this, I want a keg of that, I want two kegs of this.
So you know kegs exist, you just didn't think they were in college?
Yeah. I don't think anybody actually did that.
Where do you think people, where do you think people drank the kegs?
At their house?
I've never seen. No, like, you know, you get a kegerator for, like, you know, well-to-do. If you're a lawyer, you've made partner, then you have a kegerator that you keep in your garage.
Well, the kegerator, the college also has in a frat house, you also have a kegerator. I mean, that's a pretty standard thing, but, like, you know, for the parties, you need.
So it's not something that, like, well-to-do professional 45-year-olds. Yeah,
well, you could do that as you could definitely do that as look because
that's
a
thing I've seen. I have adult friends who are like doctors or lawyers who
you should ask them if they ever saw if they had kegs in college.
Yeah, when I was 20,
I didn't think that was something I needed to ask because I assumed that it's like Lord of the Rings stuff.
This is so crazy. Okay,
you know, like it's not real life. Like, you know, everybody knows it's not real life.
When I never really wanted a kegerator because I like the problem with the kegerator is you have to drink all the beer in like 6 weeks.
That's correct.
So it goes bad. If you live in a house with like four other young guys, like a kegerator is a great thing to have because it's beer on tap all the time. But like if you're like
you have to return it because you rent it.
Yeah, at this point in my life, there would be no use for a kegerator. But when I was like 23 or 24, the one thing I really wanted, the classy thing I wanted, was one of the like Jaeger cold boxes. you know the like thing that they have behind the bar.
Yes, yes, yes. But did you actually want to drink the Jaeger?
Yeah, wow. I loved Jaeger. Oh, Jaeger was my jam.
Sonny, you're a man.
But you know what I'm talking about, right?
I do know about it. It's very
JBL. Do you know what I'm talking about? So, like, if you go to a bar, this, I don't know if this is still the case.
Mackey's,
like,
Mackey's most, had it.
If you went to, like, a college bar in, you know, in the 90s, or late 90s, early
already
aughts,
lost me.
The
how could you get into a college bar? Okay. They all check your IDs, and you have to be 21.
No. A lot of places don't.
I had an ID.
I also had an ID, but that's besides the point.
You saw that ID that I had. But what would
Mr. Jefferson say?
It's probably technically a violation of the honor code. Mm. I might lose my degree. But these bars would have like little tiny machines that you put the bottle of Jaeger into, and it would freeze. Yeah. It would get the Jaeger down to, like, you know,
sub-zero,
3 or 4 degrees below zero, and then you would drink it, and it would be delicious because it would be so cold.
Yes, it's a good digestion.
You wouldn't taste it.
Yeah, one of those is good for digestion after 6 or 7.
You should get one the next time you go to the Palm. Be like, can I get a little shot of Jaeger?
But you know what that is? That's just another form of saying, can I get some Amaro or Fernet Branca? It's a bitter, like most Italian.
Oh, Fernet Branca.
Fernet Branca, it's the same thing.
It's like the homeless man's Fernet Branca.
It's a homeless man's Fernet. Okay. I had a final thought on, keg. For example, my good friend, who his nickname, if you remember, JVL, was The Man. You know,
Volman.
We don't have to use his name.
Right?
Yes, but we did very good. That's very...
This?
I'll give you that.
55 and still alive?
55 and still alive. It's
almost like I went to Georgetown.
It was. No, you would have been honored. And you would have been like, what is this thing? I said, JVL, this is a keg. And he would get the keg. They would have a party at their apartment in Village A. And then everybody after the party, they would all go over to the pub. But there'd still be beer left, and that, you know, if there was any beer left in the keg, you know, that's a sin. And so the man would, who was a friend of mine, he was a big fella. Everybody has the big guy, you know, in
big
their
guy.
Group of college friends. And he would sit there, and for the rest of the night when they came back, he would sit there and drink it until it was done. And he was, a friend of mine told me, like, the door would open, and you just see his giant silhouette. He goes, you could rest now. It's done. Yeah. Okay.
Stories about the man were the greatest part of, knowing you at age 23.
Yes.
So JVL, you did like keg stands and stuff in college, right? you did like.
Sonny, did you ever do keg stands?
Ask me how many beers I had in college, Sonny. Gosh.
How many beers did you have in college, JVL? Is it thousands?
I believe I had a Killian's Red once.
Killian's Red. Well, if you're gonna choose one,
Killian's Red was. Killian's Red was. I remember my friends and I. We rented. We got a hotel room in Virginia Beach one summer. Like, right. It was either the summer right before college or the summer right after first year. Mm-hmm. I forget which. But like, we went to the store, and our like 21-year-old friend bought us all the beers, and I was like, I'm going to get a Killian's Red.
Yeah, you're going fancy.
I'm going to get a six-pack at Killian's Red. That was another one where I drank like 4 sips. I was like, God damn it, I made a huge fucking mistake here. So I ended up drinking that one and then just like drinking the Miller Lights that other people had bought for the rest of the week.
I will say when we were in Georgetown, we found a place, it's no longer there, the Mexican Cafe, and they never carded. And that was a place, so we were freshmen. And that's where we went to drink, and we loved that place. And you got so daring going in there. One time, I was there with my friend Shade, and we walked in, and there was a cop in there. And we said, "Fuck, we're not going to turn around. We're still going to go in and drink." It's like 19, and we did, and we did,
and we
just,
did.
Yeah, just play it cool. Just play it cool. Just play cool.
That cop. He said shit to us. We were the kings of Mexican Cafe.
That's right. Which, by the way, you know
you're like Christopher Walken walking into a restaurant in King of New York.
That's right, the King of New York. The Mexican Cafe is currently Pizzeria Paradiso on M Street.
Oh.
That's where it is. Okay. Well, good to know. You learned something. People learn something on every episode.
But, JBL, you did like shotgun beers in college, right? You did...
Funnel. JVL, you had to have done a funnel.
What does that mean?
You know?
Well, you know what a funnel is.
I'm doing this to make you
I know what a funnel is. Yes, I know what the device of a funnel is.
Yes.
you take a tube, mm-hmm. and you essentially tape the tube to the funnel, mm-hmm. and then you put it above your head to get the gravity.
Yes, again, that is a thing that
you get the gravity.
Will Ferrell does in Old School.
There's a reason why they do it. It's based on reality.
Frank the Tank does that.
Yes. And when you turn the valve, it shotguns right in your...
Yeah, whoop! Shotguns. You don't right need, don't your... think, just drink.
You did that a lot, right? Because it's physics. That's science.
Not once. Literally not once.
It's crazy.
I mean,
you know what? One of us was working hard so that we could become a professional later in life and be a doctor. Oh.
This reminds me of the title card at the end of Barry Lyndon, where they inform us that they're all now equal.
Well, really quickly,
we went long.
We did go long. Here. Well, that was a revelation. We didn't know that was a revelation. I had a whole thing, but I'll make it quick. Which is, I'm barely hanging in there. Last night, I took the kids out to the diner, and I bit on a Kalamata olive, and the pit split my tooth.
Oh no!
I am living with a split
tooth. Which tooth?
Oh,
the upper right premolar. And you're not going to believe this, but tomorrow morning, when our listeners are enjoying this lovely podcast, I will be in the middle of a tooth extraction and bone grafting, whatever that
is. I can't believe you're doing the show.
Well, you know what it is? You learn to, everything is on the right side now. Like, I can't, and I can feel it, and it would drive me crazy, but the best, you guys, look at JVL.
I can't teeth. It's split. I don't do teeth.
And the doctor said... He says he's as far away from the microphone as possible, JVL. The doctor just looked. He says, I can't save it. I can't save it. Because I said I could feel it right here. Because there's a filling here, but it looks pretty good. I go, no. And I go, no, right there. And he goes, hey, you're right. I said, okay. And
wait, you had to like show him which tooth.
Yeah,
it was?
Because it's like a line. It's very fine, but then it.
He didn't take like a X-ray of it?
You need a new dentist.
It didn't show.
If you've got to point out your unsalvageable tooth to your dentist, then maybe you need somebody new.
You got your mouth open there. He's like, I don't know. Well, it looks fine to me.
So it's like you could.
Did you get it checked out by the Valvoline guy? Did you take it?
I was actually
the doctor Spaceman. The problem, Leo Spaceman.
That's right. The Dr. Nick of dentists. I was telling him it was the wrong tooth, and then they took the x-rays of the wrong tooth, and then I'm like, oh, wait a minute, no, you're right, it's this one here, and he found it, and then it was like, and then he's moving it around, he's like, yeah, that's it.
He was like, oh, is it safe?
Yeah, I gotta feel
it. Is it safe?
I will experience that tomorrow.
That's sad. I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry to hear that. That's the worst.
Like,
that's...
You know, I mean, because... It's like, it's one thing if I like my strained calf or I have a back problem with this. At least I can always tell myself, at least I can eat.
No. This is bad.
It is.
Bad.
It is. I've never had
so,
it.
So you're getting the tooth taken out.
I'm having the tooth taken out tomorrow.
And they're going to graft a fake tooth to your
jawbone.
Well,
that's
going to
be 3 months later. They can't do an implant for another 3 years. They have to let it heal and then I'll...
So it's just going to be a big hole in your mouth.
Well, yeah, like our friend Matt Labash. Stop. Remember Matt Labash? He looked like hillbilly. It's gonna be.
So it's like Asian
hillbilly
stop.
Jim.
This is bad. I can't.
This is the roughest episode for JVL yet. Okay, and on top of
Let's go back to shotgunning beers.
Yeah, on top of that, I can feel it.
Just think about the corner of the multiverse where you did it, and it was
That's
all of
right.
your teeth
hey,
at once.
Speaking of which. I was going to say I had a different transition because I had food poisoning at the beginning of the week, but that's
no.
Well, speaking of blowouts, over the weekend, Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness. People are like, finally, Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness exploded onto the box office with $187.4 million, followed by The Bad Guys again. In second place with $9.6 million, and in third place, Sonic the Hedgehog 2 with $6 million. Box office thoughts, remind me again what your predictions were.
Well, I thought it might... So there was a lot of talk that this was going to over-index and do 175 to 200, and it wound up right in the middle of... Like, literally smack in the middle of that. Mm-hmm. You know, the official projections were something like 140 to 150 People were suggesting that the pre-sales and everything else said it would be between 175 and 200. It wound up right between that. But it actually, I thought it had a chance of sneaking past that and doing like 210, 220, somewhere in that range. And it didn't get that far, though it looked for a minute, for a hot minute on Thursday night and Friday morning that it might, which suggests that the word of mouth on this was that it was very heavily front-loaded,
yes.
That the word of mouth was not great. And if you look at the cinema score, B-plus cinema score is soft for a Marvel movie, which tends to, you know, start at A-minus. B-plus is not great for one of these. And I'm frankly not shocked by the B-plus because it is slightly different. It is slightly different for a Marvel movie, which, you know, makes people very uncomfortable, things that are different. In these pictures, but I mean, a 187 is a huge number. It's more money than the first one. This movie has grossed more in the first 3 days domestically than the first one did in its entire run. I think through the first 4 days, I think it's grossed more than the first one did in its entire run. It's a huge hit. It's going to gross $1 billion. You know,
well, it's a more interesting. People love these. Well, okay, I was just going to say it's a more interesting villain than. In the original Doctor Strange, if you remember the end of it, is that it's just the giant thing in the universe.
Dormammu is it?
Thank you.
Well, no, the original Doctor Strange actually had a pretty interesting ending.
Was the villain
right? But he was like working for Dormammu, right. I think, and like the end guy was. But the original Doctor Strange was actually kind of interesting because it wasn't just a big CGI, you know, sparkle fingers fight, right? It was like Doctor Strange kept letting Dormammu kill him.
That's right.
And then like would reset the time and like he basically trapped Dormammu in a time loop and to win, he had to be set free.
Yeah.
Which was interesting. It's kind of an interesting subversion of the whole, you know, whatever. Thing. But this is slightly different. So it is a anyway,
well,
we talked WandaVision a little bit on this show, right?
Oh, sure. Yeah, we did. Absolutely. Yeah, we did a couple absolutely. Episodes I finished on that, yeah. That one. So, which was useful. So, Sonny, how about a big boy review?
All right. Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. Spoilers coming. So, Benedict Cumberbatch is back as Doctor Strange, who has to protect a young girl named America Chavez from the evil Scarlet Witch. Elizabeth Olsen is back as the Scarlet Witch in this, and she wants to kill this girl, America Chavez, and steal her powers, which involve being able to travel through the multiverse. And the Scarlet Witch wants to do this because she wants to go to a multiverse where her children are alive, not figments of her imagination. She wants to... go and be with them for all time instead of living where she lives now without her children. She's very sad because her children are not real. They're figments.
Well, they're children with vision, yes?
Right. So they're the children that she had on the WandaVision show with Vision that were essentially a figment of her deranged imagination. All right. So I want to say there are two things that I like about this movie. First thing I like about this movie is that it is actually a Scarlet Witch movie. It is not a Doctor Strange movie. Scarlet Witch has all of the emotional, she has the entire emotional journey in this. It is all about her, her grief and her trauma and trying to overcome that and the love she has for her children and how love makes us do crazy things. And it does not shy away from the fact that she is a monstrous villain, which the show WandaVision actually did. In the show WandaVision, if folks who watch that will remember, she essentially enslaved a town until it literally begged her for the sweet release of death.
Yeah, Westview.
Westview or whatever. She literally enslaved them and tortured them until they begged her for death. And at the end of the show, the moral center of the movie or the television show came to her and said, "These people will never know what you gave up for them." Like totally forgiving her for her like many crimes. And it drove me fucking bonkers. This movie does not pull its punches. It really gets at the craziness and the villainy of the Scarlet Witch. Mm-hmm. I'm sure JBL will have more thoughts on that, how that relates to the character from the comics and all that. The second thing I really like about this is that it is directed by Sam Raimi, and it has elements of Sam Raimi-dom in it. I wouldn't say it is a Sam Raimi movie. Sam Raimi, of course, directed the Evil Dead trilogy, Quick and the Dead, the Spider-Man trilogy, the first one. And he has a lot of unique stylistic tics that he brings to bear. Loves Dutch angled zooms, loves, you know, kind of zombie type creatures with like the dead wide eyes, right? Like we get some actual horror stuff elements in this movie. Yeah. There is a solid PG-13 horror movie when it wants to be a solid PG-13 horror movie, which is you know, nothing to sneer at when Sam Raimi is doing it. Drag Me to Hell is his last PG-13 horror movie, and that movie is scarier than like almost all R-rated horror movies. So, you know, he knows what he's doing. And he's able to do it within the strictures of the studio system on a budget, et cetera, et cetera. So this movie has like very striking Sam Raimi visual elements. I like that a lot. Bruce Campbell is in it. Bruce Campbell, you know, makes a
guest
appearance.
Who does Bruce Campbell play?
Bruce Campbell plays
the vendor, the hot dog,
Pizza
the
Papa.
Pizza
Papa.
Yeah, that's the pizza vendor.
And yeah, I'm mixed positive on this. I liked it. I didn't love it. I liked it for what it is. We haven't even talked about the cameos and all that. I'm sure we'll do that in a minute. There's lots of great cameos for fans of the Marvel Universe. Professor X, Reed Richards.
I know him. He's from the movie.
I know him. He's from the other movies.
Did anyone?
Although it seems like it's the Professor X from the X-Men animated series. He's got like
the vehicle,
the, like yellow. He's got the yellow, you know, floating hover
from the
chair.
Animated series.
And the alien. He does when he does the psychic thing. The like waves come out. You know, it feels like he's the animated Patrick Stewart. But like neither here nor there. So anyway, I liked it fine. I liked it fine.
JVL, you got a chance to see it.
Did you get to see it?
Did you get to see it?
JVL.
It's okay if you didn't.
Victorino, you first.
Okay. Quadrants. Okay. The plot, I gave it a D. It's just, I don't know. What's happening?
You couldn't follow it?
Yeah, I mean, at some point, I'm just like, what am I looking at? What am I looking at? What is going on with Captain Marvel, the other Captain Marvel, fighting Scarlet Witch? I'm just looking at magic and things. What are their powers against each other? What is that? What is going on
well,
there?
That,
energy? Hex
well,
so bolts. She's firing hex bolts.
Those,
what is Captain
so
Marvel's
that sequence,
power? What is that?
So that sequence is the worst sequence and the best sequence in the film. So when I say it's the worst sequence, because it closes with this like sparkle fingers battle between Scarlet Witch and fake Captain Marvel and fake Captain America, right? Like total CGI.
Yeah.
Like pew pew pew, look pew 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 pew. But
great
but
sound
the sequence
effect, by the
starts
way.
The sequence starts with a very fantastic, like kind of again horror-y type idea of the Black Bolt is going to do his mouth.
Oh,
you know,
right.
Attack.
Oh, that was.
And she's like, "How are you?"
Yeah.
And she takes away his mouth, and it blows up his head.
Right.
Like,
and she kind of lets him get a little squeak out, and that did it for him. That was
which is entertaining, and also and she like unravels Reed Richards, which is like vaguely horrifying to watch, and you know,
how is that?
Is
yes.
at least like
I mean,
kind of visually
all...
interesting.
Okay. We'll get back to it because I do want to talk about the Illuminati. We'll get to that in a bit. Duration was a C. That was a long one. Not that long, but it felt long to me. Action and violence is a B. There were elements of it that were like, you know, again, I'm rolling my eyes. On the other hand, there is a real horror element to this that Sam Raimi brings to this. That was interesting. And sex nudity, of course, is an F. I do love Elizabeth Olsen a lot. I'm a big fan of hers. And she's great in Wind River, but I'm probably missing. And somebody's going to say, "What? You haven't seen her in?
You haven't seen her in Old Boy,
okay,
the Spike Lee Old
okay,
Boy?"
Well, there you go. I'll add that to my list. No, I like her a lot, and I agree. She's much more interesting. She's the most interesting person in the movie. JVL,
because that's a Scarlet Witch movie. I mean, this is.
Oh,
this
okay.
Is, the movie
before we
is
get to that,
okay,
one question, and then I'm going to hand it off to JVL because I'm not familiar with this. In the comic books, is Scarlet Witch, does she play a villain or does she go both ways?
So to speak. The Scarlet Witch is she is not a villain. She is a hero. She's a member of the Avengers, weirdly. Yes. She and Quicksilver are the mutants, but the mutants who really belong as a piece of intellectual property to the Avengers and not to the X-Men, even though they debut in X-Men number 4, which is when they both show up for the first time. But when she is most interestingly used, it is in storylines such as this, where she goes insane and becomes a villain.
Mm.
Not like a mustache twirling, I will take over the universe, but just because what she wants in life leads her to do things which are horrific.
Right.
And this is the most interesting use of Scarlet Witch, because her powers are so poorly defined and broad.
I mean, the big problem with her is that she is magic. Yeah. And like all magic characters.
Except
it's just
that it's not magic because she's a mutant. That's right. The weirdness of it, right? So Doctor Strange has magic in that, like, he's learned a bunch of old texts which allow him to do stuff. Yeah. She's the runes. Like, how does that work, right? So she's a floater in a weird way. So, yes. Does that answer your question, Victorino?
Yes, thank you. I was wondering about it. But, you know, is she going to... Because in the end, obviously, she realizes what she does, and then she stays where she is. I mean, she doesn't die, you know. But her... did you just mention the Silver Surfer? Is that what you said, or no? Quicksilver? No.
Quicksilver, her brother.
So in the Avengers movie, was Age of Ultron, he's in there, and he dies. They don't use him, right? I mean, he dies.
He dies. Yeah,
that's
he dies
kind of
that.
Odd because that's a superhero. You would think they'd want to use him in the future.
Well, so he dies in that because at the time, remember, Quicksilver was being used in the X-Men movies, right. My understanding is there was some sort of deal between Marvel and Fox that like Disney can use Quicksilver in like one movie and then we'll be done with him. Remember in WandaVision, the X-Men Quicksilver shows up for a couple of episodes.
Yes.
As Wanda's brother.
So the tie-ins, because of course Disney had purchased Fox, the tie-ins were already beginning slowly. But then in this movie, mind's blown when Doctor Strange goes to the other universe.
The 838?
Maybe. Area code?
Universe? Is that something like that?
You mean Long Beach? Sorry. And... And then the guardians of that planet, that world, are the Illuminati. Is that a real thing? Is that a real thing? Is that a real thing in the comic books?
I have no
idea. Or did they just make it up?
I have no idea.
Okay.
The Marvel multiverse was always a little more rickety than the DC. Multiverse. Mm-hmm. The DC multiverse pre-Crisis on Infinite Earths was really well-defined. Like, there were, like, 15 different Earths that we knew quite a lot about, and comic books set on each of them, and anyway.
Yeah.
Unimportant.
What it more resembles is Rick and Morty. So, like, the guy who wrote this movie, Michael Waldron, is actually, he worked on Rick and Morty, and also the Loki series that that Disney Plus did. But
it showed such promise.
But the Illuminati, it calls to mind the, like, Council of Ricks in Rick and Morty. So in Rick and Morty, there are, like, infinite multiverses where all of the genius Ricks, like, have a, like, Rick planet, basically, where they kind of run things, more or less. And that is what this calls to mind. Obviously, they're not, it's different characters and whatever, but that's same basic idea.
I see. In your audiences, by the way, when... they meet the Illuminati, and there they are, you know.
Cheers. Fucking nerds.
I was going to ask you what the reaction was.
The worst part was I saw it at a critics screening. It was a critics-only screening, and still the fucking nerd critics cheered. I was just like, have some self-respect.
Oh, yeah. Control yourself if you're a critic.
Get yourself together.
We went on Saturday, and when... I forget who the first... It must have been John Krasinski as Reed Richards. Mr. Fantastic comes out. And it was, yeah! And all of a sudden, the clapping. But it was like... But then it felt like they were hoping... It felt like because the whole movie, they're just hoping, please give me something. Fan service.
Give me something I recognize, please. Well, I need it.
I do not know about this because I did not see this movie in the theater.
Oh, no.
JVL, how? How? Well, what are you talking about?
I have the Rona, and because yes, I want people going to the movie theaters, I thought it was probably not wise for me to go and sit in an auditorium with the Rona.
A crowded auditorium.
Because I want people to keep going to the movies.
Yeah, that's right.
And so I decided to do a little piracy. Look at you, Sonny.
You bought the ethical offset, did you not?
Well, here's the thing.
I was going to go to buy
an ethical offset. You know what, Vic? It's funny you should say that. Yeah. Because I have made my living on the internet for 20 years.
Sure.
I understood Napster and LimeWire and all the early torrents. Yep, I understand how torrents work.
BitTorrents.
I understand how the Onion router works. I am a reasonably technologically savvy individual. And I spent a good 2 hours trying to fucking pirate this movie and couldn't do it.
Oh.
And it led me to question a great many things, one of which is,
isn't this supposed to be easy?
This movie piracy stuff actually like this college keg beer stuff? It turns out nobody is really doing it, because I went to, it was like the Tamil Tigers who, there was all these stories about who had it. First of all, when you go to search the Tamil Tigers website, you can't find it because Google bans it. Big tech. Sonny, you with your woke friends in big tech who are actively banning and preventing we the people from learning about file sharing services.
Yeah. You're just lucky we haven't activated the drones.
The helicarriers? Yeah, the multiple, the helicarriers from Captain America,
Avengers.
Captain America Winter Soldier would be good if they were only getting people who pirated intellectual property.
Yes. I could support that.
I would be worried about getting a virus or, you know, malware.
Yeah, aren't you worried about downloading like a EXE file?
So
EXE files.
I went looking for these. I went to the Pirate Bay, which is one of the big ones. The Pirate Bay doesn't have it. I went all over the interwebs, and I dug and I dug and I searched, and I don't know if this is indicative of how this piracy works in the real world, in vivo, apart from our imaginations, or if this is a me problem. Because if you told JVL circa 1995, middle of college, go and buy some marijuana, and I will give you $100,000 if you can come back in 24 hours with a dime bag. Is that what they call it?
One dime bag of marijuana.
Mm-hmm. I could not have done it. I would have tried. I would have run everywhere trying to purchase one of them. But this,
impossible to find in Baltimore.
It's like getting a fake ID. You guys, when you're like, yeah, we had fake IDs. I'm like, how? How did you do that? It's against the law. You can't do. Where do you get these fake IDs from?
Technically, I didn't have a fake ID. I had an expired ID.
Well,
handed down.
I went to a video rental store off of Wisconsin Avenue that was run by Filipinos. It's not there anymore. People.
And they made a fake ID for you?
It's like six or seven of us all went in. And here you go. It was like this ridiculous looking thing. It was
like a Blockbuster.
Yeah, I know.
Was your name like McLovin?
It was like American ID card, you know? But what happened is a lot of these places just want you to show them something because, you know, they're just trying to make a sale. But of course,
plausible deniability.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. But anyway, neither here nor there and statute of limitations. I'm just going to say
the answer is I couldn't figure out how to buy a marijuana cigarette. I did not have any parties where there were people doing stands on top of kegs. When I tried to fucking pirate a movie, just one little movie, because I couldn't go to the theater because of COVID, I couldn't do it. And so maybe it turns out piracy isn't as big a deal as we think, or maybe I just have some sort of lawful evil problem.
Lawful evil problem. That's good.
I wonder how much of this has to do with the movie not being out in China.
That's a very good point, Sonny.
I wonder how much of it has to do with that, because I bet it's not a small part. I mean, could you find other movies to pirate?
Yeah.
I mean, I saw files with other movies' names on them, but I did not download them, and so I could not tell you if those were actual pirated copies of the movies.
But you couldn't find Doctor Strange to pirate and steal.
Nope. I could not steal it.
The system's working.
I tried to steal it, and I quit.
The system's working.
Sometimes you see these things pop up like, oh, you know, watch this video of whatever. I'm just saying whatever. I'm just saying like movies and things. Just action movies.
Yeah, you didn't get the pop-ups for the live cam of Doctor Strange 2, JBL?
With Elizabeth Olsen.
I'd be too scared to click. That would actually be pretty funny. Yeah.
It'd actually be pretty funny if you like you were running a live stream of the new Doctor Strange movie on like Pornhub or whatever.
I was gonna say
just, like camera your camera phone.
Yeah, that's how it works. Something like that. That's a little. Anyway, well, that's too bad. I'm curious. I don't know what you would have made of it. I didn't. You know how I feel about two things: multiverses and CGI,
and superheroes, and you hate all three of those.
I'm so done with that. Yeah. Also, okay, I'm not gonna get. I mean, you know, I felt like there was a little bit, Sonny. I just thought personally, I thought not to get into it because we don't get into it in these shows. I thought the political messaging was a bit much. Yeah,
the gay stuff.
Apparently, who's gay?
America Chavez. Who?
Well, America Chavez has two gay moms
in her universe.
Sucked into the multiverse.
Is she different from America Ferrera?
Yes. Okay. But not a bad call. She came from a universe that was like a lesbian Garden of Eden.
It was apparently.
I'm sorry, you're against this, Vic?
Well, you should see them.
It was very chaste. It was very chaste.
And they were
hands.
Not young. I mean, there's nobody. It's not.
It was old lesbians.
Yeah, it's old. It's old lesbians. And also, this is so only your world do people pay for food. Yeah, I guess if you went to cooking school and you're a chef, you make nothing.
That was very funny, though, because they try to steal the pizza papa.
From Bruce Campbell.
And he's like, yeah, you got to pay for that. So I thought that was actually a clever subversion of that idea that, like, everywhere has free. I thought that was actually funny. No, the gay mom stuff is very much
and
like.
And she had, at, you know, so everywhere, at, and we're watching
look
this.
Look how woke we are. And she had like, the, pin. Like, LGBTQ plus trans.
And on IMAX, it's about the size
thing.
Of a Volkswagen.
Yeah, big.
You know, and there's all this action and battles and explosions, and that pin must have been made of vibranium.
Yeah. The problem with that character is that she's a boring stiff and terrible and like she brings is. Nothing to the movie.
Yeah,
I mean, again, it's like it's total like. I am generally very skeptical of the idea that like these movies are like, oh, super woke, too liberal for me. I cut my wood myself. I don't want to see no gays in the movie.
I can't believe you're doing an impression of me. I'm right here. But go ahead.
But all your wood chopping. All your wood splitting for winter, for the fire season. But this was definitely like, it was very noticeable. It was fairly aggressive.
Yeah, it was fairly aggressive. Okay. So that's what I thought. Okay. Could there be a less... Not that there's anything wrong with it. Could there be a less interesting stinger than the mid-credit stinger?
No fucking idea who that was.
Charlize Theron
shows up. She's got like purple eyeliner on and her hand lights up. She's like, you've destabilized the multiverse. And Doctor Strange, his like third eye pops up and he's like, let's go fix it. And I was like, what the fuck just happened?
Oh, is that Cypher from the Fast and Furious movies?
She's basically playing. It's the new where they're crossing over with Fast. No, it's Clea. I don't know who Clea is. No idea who Clea is.
Really?
No idea. And then there was. Did you stay all the way to the end?
Yes.
Bruce Campbell.
Oh, that was the best part.
I love Bruce Campbell.
Okay.
He's the best part of the movie.
So he's like, hey, it's over. It's over. So that's okay.
It's over.
I would say the two highlights for me were Bruce Campbell And I normally would have, I was with the kids, and I normally would, normally I like to go 20 minutes after the start because that's when the movie starts. But we got in early, and we got a Top Gun, not a trailer, JVL, but a Top Gun sneak peek where they just showed basically 5 minutes or so.
Oh.
5 minutes of dogfighting?
It was... It was,
the movie's going to make so much money.
Yeah, but you know, Sonny's not really into that, Vic.
No, I know. I guess I guess all the youngins are going to skip it.
I rewatched Top Gun.
And
the great Tony Scott.
The stuff that is great about that is all of the American military propaganda. Okay. All of that stuff is great. Everything else is like kind of dumb and bad, but like all of the airplane stuff and like the shots where they're on the ground and you see like Navy in the background. It just like all that stuff. Yeah,
this is fantastic. This is why Matthew Modine did not do the movie, right? It was too pro military.
No, I'm excited. It's gonna make a ton of money.
It's so visually refreshing.
Vic, I was a little surprised you weren't more into like the Sam Raimi horror stuff.
I like that, and then I kept on getting distracted by the other stuff, so I felt like it was detracted. And yeah. Sam Raimi's interesting. It's funny you talk about all these other horror movies he did. The first Sam Raimi movie I think I ever watched was A Simple Plan.
That's a good movie.
It's a careful what you wish for movie,
yeah. And it was really good. Okay, before we go,
was that written by the Coen brothers? I feel like it
feels
was.
Like it, but Maybe. I have no feels, idea. Yeah. Okay. Again, before we go, the Illuminati stuff. Is this Marvel's way of saying, get ready, there's going to be a Fantastic Four movie with John Krasinski?
Well, there's a Fantastic Four movie in the works.
A reboot of a reboot.
They just lost their director, John Watts, who did the Spider-Man movies. He was supposed to do the new Fantastic Four movie, and he is leaving to do something else. No idea what yet.
Okay.
But wouldn't be shocked to see him stay in the broader Disney family.
But this would be a third iteration of Fantastic Four.
Well, the first one under Disney.
But it would be the first. Yeah. It'd be the first Disney one. I mean, the one with Chris Evans as the Human Torch and Yoann Gifford.
Oh, and Sue Richards
and Jessica Alba.
Jessica Alba, your girl.
Jessica Alba.
Yeah, pre-kid.
That one's not terrible.
Did they give her blonde hair in that? Come on. Yeah, okay. And does that mean that now the X, it's official, there's going to be a Marvel X-Men movie now?
I mean, there's...
Yeah, X-Men versus Avengers is the next phase. Oh, the next Infinity War is going to be X-Men versus Avengers.
Did they de-age Professor X, Patrick Stewart?
I don't think
he
so.
He looked good.
Maybe they did. I don't know, but
I like him. Even in this bit, and it's silly, but I like him a lot. I like him
He's great.
I just can't believe that she killed everybody. Come on, man. That's what's happening here.
Well, but it's the multiverse. They'll be back.
See?
No one's ever really gone.
It's the Deus Ex Machina of Deus Ex Machinas. Okay.
Somehow Palpatine has returned.
Spirit of the Week corrections, shout outs.
I'm just drinking
pickle beer.
Pickle beer. You should have brought it. We'd like to see it on screen. Okay. Well, that is all the time we're giving to this episode. Questions, comments, compliments, tweet us at SunnyBunch, at Victory Nematis. Again, be sure to subscribe to us on Patreon. Just go to subbeacon.com. We're there. Tell your friends. Until next time. Okay. I have one thing. But if
do
you have
it,
it's really quick.
Do it.
So, you know, there's a million multiverses, right? I mean, and one of the interesting things we didn't even talk about Rachel McAdams, because one of the interesting things is, of course, no matter what universe Doctor Strange goes to, Stephen Strange goes to, I don't think there's ever one where they are together. And that's sort of in the back of his mind, because the movie opens up with her wedding to another guy. And then, but everywhere else, he knows her. They know each other. But I don't think they ever, not even in any other universe. Right, Sonny? That's right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. But the weirdest thing is, you would think in one of those multiverses, she would have had that mole on her face removed.
Not fine. How dare you?